Psalm 119, verse 89. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. They continue this day according to thine ordinances, for all are thy servants. Unless thy law had been my delights, I should then have perished in mine affliction. I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me. I am thine. Save me, for I have sought thy precepts. The wicked have waited for me to destroy me, but I will consider thy testimonies. I have seen an end of all perfection, but thy commandment is exceeding broad. Well, amen. We'll end our reading. And again, trust the Lord's blessing to be on the public reading of His Word. There's some portions of Scripture that have the peculiar quality that they can be extremely sobering and yet really encouraging at the same time. I think an example of that is in Matthew 24, and you don't need to turn there, but I'm sure you're familiar with the text. We read in verse 24 there, speaking of the last days, "For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect." Now there's a text that if it doesn't get your attention, nothing will. And by that I mean getting your attention with reference to the power and to the danger of false teaching. That there will come a point that the false teaching and the signs that follow that will be so strong, will be so alluring, that if it were possible, even the very elect would be deceived. I say, here's a text that is incredibly sobering, and yet it's incredibly encouraging because it isn't possible for the elect to be deceived. Well, I think in a sense the words that I want to put before you tonight in verse 92 of the psalm fit into that category. Unless thy law had been my delights, I should then have perished in mine affliction. David was a man that had known great affliction. The psalmist here has put before us incredible obstacles and troubles that he had known. Read with me, if you would, just take the time to read the stanza that precedes ours. Verse 81, "My soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word. Mine eyes fail for thy word, saying, when wilt thou comfort me? For I am become like a bottle in the smoke, yet I do not forget thy statutes. How many are the days of thy servant? When wilt thou execute judgment on them that persecute me? The proud have digged pits for me, which are not after thy law." These are words that describe a pretty desperate situation, like a bottle in the smoke. If you read verse 84 again, or excuse me, 85, "The proud have digged pits for me." I was thinking about that just several days ago. I haven't digged many pits in my days. I've dug a few ditches and so forth, but it's hard work. When we try even to speak figuratively about hard work versus easy work, you know, digging ditches is where we go when we're describing the hard work. The psalmist here is describing his enemies as those that have not dug just one pit, but pits in which to ensnare him and trap him. People that have gone out of their way to cause him trouble. People that have gone out of their way, made it a point to bring trouble to the servant of God. This, we have to confess, is often what belongs to the Lord's people. You know, there are times when the world will just let the church go by. I think in many ways in our society, those that are worldly in the way we think of those terms and their outward activities, they very often, sometimes they'll cry out against the church. They'll cry out against somebody that rebukes them in their sin.
But a lot of times they just roll their eyes and let you go. You go your way, I go my way. That's no problem. The problem comes when you come to deal as a believer with false religion. You cry out against apostasy, or you cry out against Romanism. I've really been amazed in recent days how many professed evangelicals, they raise their eyebrow when anybody preaches against Romanism. The political correct speak in the church has gained a lot of territory. But I say there are those, and again, perhaps in our day, it's becoming more and more within the visible church, within the church of compromise and apostasy, that when they hear a faithful voice or they see a faithful life, they will not let it pass without notice. They will engage themselves. They will busy themselves. They will tire themselves. They will exert themselves in bringing oppression, in bringing affliction. They will dig not one, but many pits to snare the people of God. The psalmist, in some ways, if I remember correctly, Spurgeon commented on that section of the psalm that this was the lowest point that the psalmist ever got in this wonderful psalm. Like a bottle in the smoke, his enemies overwhelming him. Folks, we can become discouraged. We can, in the midst of the struggle, become almost overwhelmed. Now, I don't want to come tonight with a downer message, as it were, but I'm sure that you, like me, will have to confess that there are times where we are overwhelmed. We struggle. What is the Lord doing? Lord, how long? When will you comfort me? Well, if we can be as the psalmist, with our soul fainting for the Lord's salvation, our eyes failing for His word, then at least we're thirsting and seeking after the place where there's really a remedy. That's a good sign. But the discouragements come. Now, the Lord has given us in the free church, can we confess, many things for which to be greatly encouraged. In the events of this last year, in the establishment of the North American denomination, these are great encouragements. The number of churches that have gone out from this very place, these are encouragements. But yet there are other times when we think, in a quarter of a century, I reached the age where you can start speaking in increments of time like that. But in a quarter of a century, didn't most of us expect more? Particularly as it comes to the increase in our extension works. I know in my heart I did. Now, I'm not discouraged that all is at a loss. I was greatly encouraged in Toronto last spring in the formal commencement of the denomination. I forget who it was, but it just made a side comment, and it got me to thinking that, you know, in many ways, our sister churches or our mother churches in Northern Ireland knew 2 decades of great smallness and struggle. It's in the late 60s when the real turn and the move of the Lord came. It's 51 when it began. So it's not impossible for there to be the slow early days. And in some ways that can be good, because a tree's got to have its roots down good before it's going to have the strength to hold up much fruit. And so I don't say this to say, well, we should all just look at what we are and just crawl in a hole and die. And that's not the point. But yet, if you ever pause to think, we've been looking and searching and crying out to the Lord, and yet there's pit after pit after pit, and difficulty after difficulty after difficulty. And there can be times in which we're brought nearly to faint. But the psalmist said in our text, verse 92, unless thy law had been my delights. The psalmist takes encouragement. Look at the opening verses of our section.
Forever, O Lord, Thy word is settled in heaven. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. They continue this day according to Thine ordinances, for all are Thy servants. He steps back to look at the created order. And God in His providence, He upholds them all. And he has to come to consider, if the Lord is faithful in upholding His creation, if the Lord is faithful in honoring His word and in His promise, I think even of the promise given to Noah after the flood, the Lord would not again destroy the earth by water. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, these things will remain. I always remember that verse when the global warming people start talking. The Lord is in control. The psalmist says, look, if the Lord is faithful in honoring these things and upholding the earth, is He not going to be faithful in honoring His covenant to His people? Is He not going to be faithful in the establishment of His kingdom? Well, of course He is. And whatever difficulty, and our brother mentioned in the opening prayer that, you know, we gather in here tonight, perhaps some with great encouragements that we bring. Perhaps others with great discouragements and great needs. We have this individually. We have it even among our very churches. But the Lord is faithful and understands where each of us are. And the Lord will honor His word just as He upholds all things according to the word of His power. His word is forever settled in heaven. And so, we can take comfort tonight. What I want us to take to prayer as we go to prayer tonight, the opening words of the verse, unless thy law had been my delights, I should then have perished in mine affliction. Just as that verse I mentioned in the Olivet Discourse is extremely sobering and yet extremely encouraging, so is this verse. It is extremely sobering because the power and the largeness of difficulty can be at times very great. And we cannot, with any honest view of the Christian life, deny this. There are things that would come upon us that would seem to bring us to perish in our affliction. But I say, that's just the sobering part of the text. The encouraging part is that it cannot be. Unless thy law had been my delights. Here is where the psalmist turns. The psalmist comes to look away from the affliction, to look away from the many pits, to look away from the problems and the struggles, to the certainty of the promise of God. And then his soul is unloosed. He is strengthened. He is encouraged because he knows God is on the throne. He knows that whatever difficulty may come, there is a better end beyond it. And so he looks at God's word as his delights. Now, folks, that's not always easy. But yet that's gospel thinking. It would be easy in a generation of apostasy and declension to say, well, you know, it's all going to get worse and worse, and I'll just pity myself, and I'll claim to be one of the Lord's people, and it'll all turn out, but I don't have much hope for the nasty now and now. I'll just look to the sweet by and by. What I call in a very, very bad eschatology, the ultimate hammock in the sky. That's not what heaven's going to be. There may be hammocks in the new world, I don't know. Might like to have one. I don't have one now. But glory isn't going to be, oh, I'm finally rid of the problems and the aches and pains. Glory is going to be the immediate presence of God. Let us practice for glory in these days where we know the presence of God, yet immediately.
But it's easy for the Lord's people. Can we bring it close to home? It's easy for fundamentalists today to look at the way things are going and say, well, we're just this tiny little remnant. We're going to win in the end. Let the world go on in its way. And have no hope. Not live by faith. Not see in God's law our delights. You see, what do we focus, hang our delights upon? I'll only delight in the Lord and His graciousness unto me if this or this or this or this circumstance work out the way I want them to. No. Let me delight in the law of God. I'll borrow from Dr. Barrett here. With joy, independent of circumstances. Unless thy law had been my delights, I should have perished in my affliction. The comfort and joy in this text is with all the afflictions and problems that came upon him, he didn't perish. And he wasn't going to perish. And so he found occasion to delight. And he rejoiced.
I'll not take time to turn it up, but familiar with the words of the 46th Psalm.
Be still. Know that I'm God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. All kind of troubles and problems.
I look at that psalm in an eschatological sense. The upheavals there may be quite literal. But the Lord says, be still. And no, don't worry. Rest in faith. Take your delights in my law. I'll be exalted in the earth.
You may not perceive from your vantage point how this is going to be, but it's going to be. Trust me.
And that's where we're turned to walking by faith, even through the discouraging thing. Even through the discouraging things. To delight in the law of God. And friends, that is going to be the only pathway to godliness through difficulty. When we begin to wallow in unbelief is when we begin to slip into worldliness. Because if we're not delighting in the law of God, if we're not taking our comforts in His faithfulness, in His Word, in His promises, then we're going to seek other comforts. And that's a sure path into worldliness. It's not just a grit your teeth and I'm going to have to stand here as a good separatist, but boy, am I not happy with the way things are. No, it is walking by faith. Finding a pathway to delight in the law of God. And notice there, delights. So many things in which we can take encouragement and delight and joy, even when there are pits that are digged for us. And that's how we can say with the psalmist, quicken me according to your word.
Help me to delight so that I won't perish.
And so let us tonight, whatever our circumstances may be, find in the law of God our delight.